We're going to be talking about child training tonight. Please open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read several Proverbs about child training, and we're also going to look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 12. And then we're going to talk about some very practical applications of this, and primarily one involving my granddaughter. I've got lots of anecdotes about my children, and they get preached about in their escapades and corrective episodes and different things. But I'm now a grandfather, and just recently something very instructive happened and illustrative happened with my granddaughter that I would like to share with you, because my daughter and son-in-law realized the problem and made an amazing transformation over the past month, and I'd like to tell you how they did it, and the principles upon which they did it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. I want you to listen to those last words. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Far too many parents think, I love my child too much to punish them or too much to discipline them. That is not, you may like the child, but that is not what the child needs. Children need discipline. And love gives what is needed. Love is about giving. Giving what is needed, not necessarily what we want. John 3:16, God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if you give an alcoholic or a drug addict $20, that may be what he wants, but it is not what he needs. Children need discipline. And the Bible says that if we love them, we will discipline them diligently. I've had mothers say, well, if I tried to address every time they misbehave, well, I'd never get anything else done. Let me tell you something. If you don't address each misbehavior, there's going to be more and more and more and more of it, and your life will be more and more and more chaotic, and that child will likely be lost. What you do, you take the time to address the misbehavior so that the misbehavior stops. And when it pops up again, you address it again, and that way you get the child in control and in self-control before God, and they'll be so much more happier for it. If we love our children, we discipline them diligently. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Discipline a child while there is hope. When a child is little, they're like clay, and it's soft clay, and you can help mold them the way they need to be. Remember how much more time God has given you and I with our little children than he does a mother cat with her kittens. Mother cat with her kittens doesn't need much time because they don't need to teach them very much. Look how much time God has given you with your babies and your children. There's a lot that we're supposed to be teaching them in that time. Do it while there's hope, because if we wait, they will become crooked in various ways and misshapen in various ways, and they will have the opportunity later to try to correct that with God's grace and God's instruction. But it'll be hard on them because we will not have given the tools to them of self-control and self-discipline and such. And it'll be very hard on them, and we won't be able to do that for them. So help them develop those tools early. Discipline them while there is hope. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from them. A lot of foolishness was driven from me by my mom and dad when I was growing up. And it was oftentimes with a rod. Mom would say, go get a switch. And we had to go get that switch. And then she used it on us. And it was not out of hatred. It wasn't out of anger. It wasn't out of meanness. It wasn't child abuse. It was teaching us not to do that, and I'm thankful for it. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 says, do not hold back discipline. Proverbs 22:6, please look at that one with me. This is very important. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are not just trying to control children. We're trying to train them. You've seen people just try to control children. That's not good enough. We need to train children so that then they will have self-control to control themselves. If you've ever heard fathers say, "You're not doing that as long as you're under my roof." Is that training a child? That's mere control. Then what will that child do as soon as he's not under the roof, or he's under the roof and dad's not looking? We want to train children. That's what the Bible says. We'll be talking about that specifically in a minute. Now, turn, please, to Proverbs 29. This is the text I want to focus on mostly. And I'm going to tell you about my granddaughter. I have 6 children. I have 3 girls and 3 boys. And when Tabitha's birthday comes next month, they will be all 4 years apart, going 24, 20, 16, 12, 8, and 4. The 3 youngest are here this evening. And they are not perfect children, and they have done their share of things that they've had to get in trouble for, and their father has done his share of mistakes, not like not listening to his 8-year-old when he said that I ought to turn around and go back. But I have enjoyed using the principles in the Bible and seeing them work. And thus, there have been tales when I was here before, and you heard some of the stories about them in their upbringing to illustrate these principles. I'm now a grandfather. My daughter is 24 years old. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, with her husband, Tim. And they have a little girl, and she's 1 year old. And we don't get to see her a lot because we're in Pennsylvania and they're in Tennessee. We got to see them back around New Year's. And my daughter had a really rough time because the baby was not being very good and was not very happy. And when you have the whole family get together, it's not very enjoyable to try to participate in things when the baby's constantly fussing and crying and everything's difficult. And she was sad and she was embarrassed. And Layla was not a happy camper. Now, there's several reasons for this, and as parents, we all understand some of the extra external things that can come into play. When a baby is at home, or a young child is at home, they feel more secure, and they know what's going on. They've got their routine. When they're on the road, sometimes they don't get as much rest, and they're around strangers and such as that. Well, that can be part of things. When they're around people they know, it's easier to behave probably than when they're around strangers and such. But that's not the whole picture. When Layla, and they have been kind of Tim and April are good people and good Christians and good parents, but there was one thing they were missing that I want to share with you tonight. And they had made sure, and it had to do with this verse right here, Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. First off, you need the rod and reproof. Just the rod doesn't teach the child. Just going to frighten the child and make the child want to avoid you. Just reproof doesn't give the child any reason to take your reproof seriously. The Bible says the rod and reproof bring wisdom. When our little fellas and our little girls misbehave and we take the time to teach them, explain to them what they did wrong, get them to see what they did wrong, and get them to apologize for what they did wrong, and they get their appropriate punishment. Those two things together do the job. But if we let the child get their own way, it will bring shame. Now, here was the situation with Layla. April had noticed a couple of weeks before they came up that Layla's behavior had just been getting more unpleasant and difficult and things, but they had not got it under control, and it had gotten worse, and then they go on the trip. And they got up to Pennsylvania, and she doesn't really know me yet. And they said, "Do you want to go to Granddaddy?" And for about a week, this was her typical response. It wasn't just a child that would be shy or embarrassed and go, because I know, I don't have the face and the voice that babies are most fond of. You know, if they're going to put on a little TV show to read the babies, they're not going to audition me for that. I understand that. But when mom, and it's good for children to feel safe with their parents and not feel safe with any stranger. But when you're introducing someone to family and mom says, "You can go to this person," so it's like, it wasn't just that shyness that, oh, they're not sure they want to go. This was Layla. "Oh, you want to go to Granddaddy?" Yeah, just every time. The hand went out, the rejection, the nose went out, which said, "I don't want to. I don't want that. No." And she got what she wanted. Oh, okay. And then later they try again. "Want to go to Granddaddy?" Over and over. And each time, what did she get? She got what she wanted. Now, it's no big surprise that she would rather... Who would a baby rather be with? One-year-old. Who would a one-year-old rather be with than anybody in the world? Mom! Mom needs a break every once in a while. You know, things need to be done such. But more importantly, the child needs to learn. And if there was a whiteboard here, I want you to imagine there's a whiteboard right here. And I'm going to write the word. No, I don't need one. I'll just... Oh, have we got one? Oh, all right. Super. Thank you very much. I want you to think about the difference between self-indulgent and self-controlled. Oh, beautiful. The difference between self-indulgent and self-controlled. So over and over and over. Thank you, sir. And here's an eraser. Over and over, it was the same routine. Want to go see Granny or somebody else? And it was the head turned, the nose up, the rejection, the ink. And then we came over to Jeff and Libby's, and we went on outing. And, you know, it was very cold. And she screamed and cried a lot. And it was cold enough that if we'd stayed out much longer, I would have been screaming and crying too eventually, I suppose. I've got a bunch of one right here. Thank you very much. But the difference between self-indulged and self-controlled. Part of self-control is having to do with self-denial, what Jesus talked about in Luke 9:23. That's realizing we don't get everything we want. Children who get everything they want, we have a word to describe those children. What is it? Spoiled. There's a reason we call it spoiled, because it ruins them. It just really does. We as adults, before God, do we need to get everything we want every time we want it, when we want it? Is that going to make us better people? You know, this all these bailouts and stimulus packages and everything, and you know, the Chinese are finally saying, "We're a risky investment," you know. And I this personal opinion here, but to illustrate a point, I think we had a recession or a depression coming, and I think the country for the long run probably would have been better for it if we'd gone through the pain of it when we needed to go through it and learn some lessons. Those of you who had parents or grandparents or great-grandparents that went through the Great Depression, did people come out of the Great Depression stronger people or weaker people generally? A lot of people came out of that stronger. Going through hardship can often make people stronger. 1 Peter, suffering and glory. Hardship, James talks about being tested by fire and such. We're not better people when we get everything our way all the time. Do you know some adults like this? Do you know some adults that always try to get their way all the time? They don't ever think about giving, they only think about getting. They don't ever think about other people's feelings, they only think about their own. Do you know anybody like that? If you do, let me ask you a question. Are they a happy person? No. God knows what makes us tick, and he knows what doesn't work. And this doesn't work. Now, that's why we don't need to let children be that way. We all have habits, don't we? We learn things by habit. If we get in the habit when we are little of expecting everything to go our way, we're going to be miserable people because it's not going to. Even in a household where the little tyrant, you know, gets the throne and the crown and everybody bows to their will, there's going to be some times when it can't happen, right? You know, are we there yet? No, it's another 200 miles. I want to be there now! Well, it can't happen. And now when the will of the tyrant, you know, you want to frustrate somebody, let them think they're a dictator for a while, and then take it away from them. They can't always get their way, so they need to learn that instead of having parents cater to them, trying to always get them their way. It will make them miserable. So, back to Layla. Layla, she was not a happy child a good bit of that week. And when the whole family was together, she was having a rough time, and so April was having a rough time and everything. And, like I said, these good parents, but they'd made a mistake, they realized, by the end of the week. Because at the end of the week, the day or so they left, or the day before they left, we tried one more time. Somebody said, want to go to Granddaddy? And I held her in my arms, and she went, ew. And Granddaddy decided it was just time for Layla not to get her way. And I said, well, I'm just going to take her. And Bertina, being a little bit too much of a grandma, if you've ever heard Bill Cosby talk about when he was a kid and his folks had kids, you know, he would see his parents being more lenient on his kids, saying, oh, don't punish him for that. He would think, who are you? That is not the man that raised me. Bertina said, oh, no, don't. No. You know, I said, no, I'm going to do this. So I just took her. At which point, as Brianne describes it, she got so mad. And she started screaming and yelling and everything. She didn't get her way. Well, she wasn't happy already. But now she was really unhappy and she's screaming and everything. Well, Granddaddy just took her anyway. And Granddaddy walked in to where there was a mirror. And we looked there and she's screaming and pitching a fit. And I said, look, Layla, look at that face you're making. And we started looking in the mirror. Oh, look at that. Look at that nasty face and everything. Said, and that screaming. You want me to cry like that too? And I'm going, ah, and everything. And we're looking in the mirror. And we just kind of disempowered the whole pitching thing and everything. And within less than a minute, she's calmed down. And she's with me and everything is fine. And we're walking around and we're having fun. And then April and Tim got to thinking about it and asking. I said, she's been dictating what goes on. And they realized that. And Tim said, you know, he said, when I'm playing with her, I'll be building a stack of blocks. And I have to be building two at once because she's going to tear it down as soon as she gets a chance. So while I'm building this stack, then I'm having to start a new stack. She's tearing that one down, so I have to have another one going. And they decided, you know, we've got to stop this. So, they said, you know, we were making sure that she never said no when she was told to do something. And if they told her to do something, they made sure she did it. But the mistake was in, you know, because sometimes you avoid telling them to do something because you don't want the battle. And so you let them get their way. What's it say? A child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. So they decided, we're going to crack down on this. And they started giving her rules that she had to obey for there was going to be a battle. And so on the way home, they're traveling. You know, when you're traveling and you stop to get a hamburger, you want to make it pretty quick, right? Well, they stayed there for 45 minutes. Because she was supposed to say thank you, and she wouldn't. And they stayed there and stayed there and stayed there, and they got on the phone. They said, you know, what do you think? What should we do? And I said, that's right. And after 45 minutes, little stinker, finally. And after, you know, being dealt with and disciplined stuff, She finally said, thank you. Well, they got home. They continued to have episodes. And one of them lasted over 4 hours. And she just wouldn't do what she was supposed to do. And she wouldn't, and she would get spankings. Now, you want to be careful when you're spanking a small child. You don't want to abuse a child. We're talking about discipline. Abuse, those parents that beat their kids because they're mad, that's not the biblical discipline here in Proverbs. Proverbs says, he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Not he who is mad at him beats him out of vindictiveness. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Corrective biblical discipline there in Proverbs is the discipline that is done out of love for the benefit of the child. It's not because you're mad. It's not because you're embarrassed. It's not because something doesn't go your way. It's because the child needs to learn that. So, they're going round and round, and I'm going to tell you something. I never had one go 4.5 hours on me. I had one right there. One time go 45 minutes. And I began to, that was the one time I began to wonder, man, is this going to work? But it did. And eventually gave me a little chance to catch a breather, and then he finally, and I'd spanked him just about everywhere. I'd spanked him on his thigh, on that thigh, on his backside, on this foot, on that leg, on this hand, on that hand. Now, I didn't want to wear him out in one place. And then we'd sit there, and the whole family would urge him to do the right thing. And what it was, I'll tell you what it was, I told him, come over here and let me put on your pants. It was time to get ready for church. He was close to one. And he just stood there. Well, now, the wrong thing to do for child training is just go pick up the child and put on their pants. Well, you won getting on the pants, but did you win getting the child trained to behave, to obey? No. They never had to obey. So when I tell them to do something, they have to do it. He wouldn't do it. And we had the whole family sitting there. Come on, Jack, come over there and do it. No, he would go to his sister, he would go to his brother, he would go to mom, but he decided he was not going to me. And so he would get a spanking, and we'd all urge him again, come on. And he held out for 45 minutes. And finally, then we gave him a breather, and then finally, he did it. Well, Layla held out for 4.5 hours. And her daddy said, he was starting to lose heart. And he said, is he just stupid? And after that, and of course it turned out real well, you know, finally she did the right thing. And those of you that are parents and have had these little episodes, you know exactly how she behaved after she did the right thing. Happy and sweet. Those of you that have done that, you've seen that. I'm seeing those heads nodding yes. And I knew that. I said, that's what will happen when she brought, and of course that's what she did. But when her daddy, as they were describing it earlier, April was saying, Tim was starting to think, you know, I just don't think it's going to work. So is he just stupid? And I said, it begins with S-T-U, but it's not stupid. It's stubborn. And that's what she was. And she'd been in the dictating mood enough weeks that she was not going to let go of that throne easily. You know what it was? She was wanting to do something where she was supposed to say mama, and she wouldn't do it. Now, see, some people say, well, why make a big deal over saying mama? The big deal is whether or not you obey your parents. That's the big deal. When we train our children to obey us, listen, when we get the little ones to learn to obey, a huge percentage of what you need to get done in child training is already done. And now they are trained to be ready to start obeying their Heavenly Father. Because they've learned what? That they don't always get everything they want and they need to obey. Well, so that was the episode with Layla, and here's how it turned out. I went down to Tampa last week, and on the way down, I stopped by and I saw Tim and April and Layla. And I knew they'd been working on this. This was New Year's when all the problems happened. Well, I got there. And it was late at night, so I went, well, baby's cranky. You know, when the baby's well behaved, every baby, every child will sometimes do things that they shouldn't do. The trick is, correct it when they do it. Don't think, my child will be perfect and never mess up. No, but do think this. My child will not always do right, but when they do wrong, we are going to straighten it out. Period. Well, that's what they've done over the past month. And when I got there, it was very late. But you know what? That was not a cranky little girl. She was just absolutely wonderful. That was such a happy child. There was a friend with us who spent a good bit of time around Layla when they were up visiting. And he said afterwards, she said, that was like a totally different baby. She was just so happy and so comfortable. And pleased Granddad, when we walked in, they said, there's Granddaddy. Want to go see Granddaddy? And she went, and she just went right to me. And she would toddle around, and she was just giving out kisses, and she kept going up to Tabitha, and she would just go over and lean on her and hug her, and she'd go to her. She was just so affectionate and just so pleasant and just so happy. 5 weeks earlier, she was not a happy girl. What was the difference? 5 weeks earlier, she'd been getting her way, and it had made her miserable. She didn't always get her way. During those weeks, they decided she's not going to get her way. She's going to obey. And the difference was, I was amazed at the difference. It was a delight to see. And I asked him, I said, how'd you do it? What did, you know, give me some of the specifics. And one thing April said, well, one thing I did, she said, I was having trouble with her at church. And she would sit there, you know, and just, you know, she wouldn't be quiet. She wouldn't sit still for services and everything. And so I decided to start training her at home. Instead, I took a little stool and I put it in the middle of the room. And then I got all her favorite toys and put them in a circle around the stool. All those trees and the knowledge of good and evil, all have forbidden fruit. And then I got a book that she loves to be read to, but she's also surrounded by all her toys. And April would say, Mommy's going to read to you. And we would sit down on the stool. And she would have to sit there nicely without fussing. And they would read the book together. Well, that was, to a child that had been kind of used to getting away on things, that was kind of tough being surrounded by those toys. But she would do it and do it, and she'd have to be disciplined sometimes. They would do it, and she kept training her. And then she had to not cry and whine. And it broke my heart one time. She knew she wasn't supposed to cry. She started crying. She went, you know. But what was she learning? Self-control. And then after a while, guess what would happen? They could sit there, and all those toys were around her, but what did she know now? She needed to use self-control. This wasn't for self-indulgence. When Mommy said we're going to read a book, she's not the dictator. Mom's the mom. When Mom says we're going to read a book and I'm going to be still and quiet, I'm going to be still and quiet. And she would sit there for 45 minutes. And, of course, whenever they got done, then there was a special treat, you know, that would be fixed for and stuff. And, of course, you could play with any of the toys that you want to. We want children to have fun. We want children to enjoy childhood. But privilege needs to come when people are meeting their responsibilities, not just because I want it. That can't be tolerated. And another thing on the blocks, this was, or and on the bedtime. Ever since Layla was little, April used to get almost no sleep some nights. You know, we call, only got about a couple hours sleep. I said, she'd just be so fussy and cocky and stuff. Well, until recently, she was still, you know, put her down, she'd scream and scream and scream. And April said, you know, I got to thinking about it during the process this past month. She said, I bet this will fix that going to bed thing. And it did. She said, used to. I would take her in there, do the bedtime routine, and she'd go down, she'd be screaming and hollering and stuff. Says, no more. She says, I take her in there, we do the bedtime routine, read the bedtime story and everything, tuck her in, give her the kiss, and she goes to sleep. What's happened? She's out of her dictator role, trying to manipulate the adults around her, and she's accepting, I don't always get what I want when I want it, which is going to make her miserable anyway. And she's learned, I'm to do things, and she's just so, so much happier. When I spoke on this subject in Maryland, particularly on the subject of you don't just force them to do the thing, you make them obey to do it. And I told about the episode with Brianne in the car seat, where she wouldn't get in the car seat, and she got spanked. Still wouldn't get in the car seat, got spanked. Still wouldn't get in the car seat, got spanked. Still wouldn't get in the car seat, got spanked. This is about age 3. And, you know, somebody might say, why didn't you just put her in the car seat? Because it was my job to train her. And if it's her job to get in the car seat, me just using the fact that I'm bigger than her to put her in hasn't trained her to do what she's supposed to do. And there was a mom down in Maryland. She said, about 2 or 3 days after hearing that, she said, that was just a life-transforming lesson for me. She said, I've decided over the past, because that's what I would do. If she wouldn't get in the high chair, I'd just put her in. She said, I don't do that anymore. And she said, after just 2 or 3 days, she said, my child is so much better behaved and so much happier. It works. One little last thing about Layla. Now, remember the block thing? Now they make one stack of blocks, and they'll make it really high, and she has to wait. And then she has to say please before she knocks it down. And so it gets up real high, and she goes, please? And they say, uh-huh. Boom! Down goes the tower. But it's no more of this having to build another one while, you know, it's just, now she's learned some self-control. And April said, it's real cute, even when nobody's in there, she'll build a tower by herself. And she'll build that tower, and she'll get it up, and then she'll go, please! Boom! See, she's learning habits. I got to tell you, as a grandpa, it was just so enjoyable. I was so proud of my son-in-law and daughter for sticking with it over that month. And they've done a lot of right things before. But then they really worked hard on it there for a month to get those things under control. And it was just such a joy to see the fruits of the work they did. And it was such a joy to see my granddaughter so, so much happier. And as a grandpa, it was also a lot nicer to get to hold her instead of getting. And look at me, please, with Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 7, this is addressed to adults. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But like with discipline from our parents, look what it says in verse 11. All discipline seems for the moment to be not joyful, but what? Sorrowful. At any given moment, which is easier, to let the bad behavior slide or to have the battle and make the child obey? Oh, it's always easier for the moment to let the bad behavior slide, which produces what? More ingrained habit of bad behavior. And it means the child got away with it. If you want misbehaving children, you reward and tolerate misbehavior. If you don't want misbehaving children, don't reward. Somebody says, why would I reward misbehavior? People do it all the time. I want the chocolate cocoa puffs! No, we've already got that. No, I want that! I want that! No, you can't have that. I want that! Okay. You rewarded misbehavior. And tolerating misbehavior. It's not good for children. He who loves his child disciplines him diligently. All chastening seems not for the moment to be joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, it yields that peaceable fruit. It works. Listen to those Proverbs. 29:15, let's read them one more time, and verse 17, which we had not read yet. Proverbs chapter 29. And then I'm going to close with one little illustration that somebody reminded me of. I'd forgotten all about it, but I saw somebody in Florida just a few days ago that told me about this, and I'll share that with you in the lesson of yours. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son, verse 17, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. But more importantly, he or she will be the better person for it. We all know people that have grown up like this and they're still like this. How's that work for them? Not so good. Don't do that to your children. And then I wanted to share this with you about April. I was down in Tampa, and I got to see people I knew years ago, back in the early 80s. A man, an older man that I studied with back then, and I never knew that while I was studying with him, his wife was in the kitchen looking up every Bible verse. And my son is now attending services with their son, who was going to church where I was at the time. And when he saw my son, he got the phone number and he called me and he told me that his mom ended up being baptized into Christ later on. And his father is now worshiping down there with them. And so when I got down there, it was very nice to see them. It was a pleasant reunion and such. And he said, come over to the house. And I went over to the house. And while we were there, he started talking about, because he remembers me when I would have been 26, Bertina would have been 23, and April was one. The same age, basically, Layla is now. And he said, I remember it was so funny watching you and April. He said, you would get done preaching, and you would get April, and you would go to the back to greet the people. And in that building, there was no steps. It was just at the door. There was the threshold of the door. And then here was an area where a car could pull right up to let people out in the rain. And then not very far out there was the country highway. And so you couldn't have a child just walking out there. And he said, you would take her out there, and you'd be greeting people and stuff. And you would just say, April, don't cross that line. And you'd be greeting people. He said he would watch April, and he would see her look at that line and just stand there and look at it. And then he said one day she looked at that line, and she looked at you, and she looked at that line, and she knew what she was going to do. So she went, she knew it was coming, and she was going to go for it. So she just started crying and went out the line. And he said, I picked her up, took her in the office, you know, and she got her spanking. He said, another time I was over at your trailer, which was next to the church building, and he said, April climbed up in her little rocking chair. And she, you know, she's about to stand up on it. And, of course, it's not a real good idea for a one-year-old to try to stand on a rocking chair. And he said, Bertina said, April, don't stand up. And he said, April sat there. He all scrunched down everything. This went, and then stood right up. And of course, and she got her spanking. Well, she learned from those spankings. And April told me the other day, after they'd done a lot of this, she told me like one day, she told Layla to do something. And you know how sometimes you turn on the computer and it tells you what it's doing? You know, accessing files, you know, searching this, opening that. Well, you can just see all that in her face. You know, it's all good. And Layla went, and then did it. What was going on in there? You know, should I go for it? And she decided, nope, not going to do it. And she did it. I wish you could see how happy she is now. Don't settle for the temporary victory of the little tyrant to get their way and say, oh, I want him to be happy. Because that'll make him miserable. and it'll make him stubborn, and it'll make him destined to be easily resentful of submitting to the will of God. And is there anything worse? Let's discipline our children diligently because we love them and while there's hope. Train them up in the way that they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Because they will not have been simply controlled, they will have been trained to have self-control. Thank you very much for your attention. Subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?